this Wednesday, April the 7th, 2021. 13 coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. WWGH Radio here. Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. Glenn Coble in studio. And don't forget, coming up today from 12:10 to 1 p.m., A Progressive Life with Glenn. And then 4:10 to 5 p.m., Nate Redmond's inaugural broadcast from this studio with offbeat news and trivia. And then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday sermon from 6:10 until 7. And we will be going up tonight to look at the tower situation again and see how the antenna hangs at this particular moment. And hopefully that'll be remedied as time goes on. Now, we did have a call right before the break. We're talking about the name change of the Indians and now also the decree that came down from management that says don't paint your face, don't wear any headdresses that look anything that would be offensive to Native American culture. And that's caused a big mess this week as well. Yep. As baseball season is underway. 740-383-9944. You were having a discussion there, Glenn, before we went to break with the gentleman who felt that, I guess, that the name was okay.
Yeah, and you have to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, preferably a Native American's shoes, to find out why Chief Wahoo is kind of obnoxious to a lot of Native Americans. And I'm getting the signals from my left side.
I thought he was going to kiss you. I didn't know what was going on.
I was a little afraid of that myself.
It's coming close. It's coming close.
Oh, well. Anyway, that's... I think there people have to stop and think. I listened to a terrific TED Talk yesterday about why people... why we are so divided and why some people absolutely believe in things that are absolutely incorrect and other people absolutely believe in things on the other side of the coin that are absolutely incorrect. And it has to do with, you know, choosing up teams and wanting to stay in the crowd that believes that way. And it's kind of interesting. Makes you think. And I think we need to do a lot more thinking.
Well, again, the phone lines are open here. We do invite people to voice their opinion. 740-383-99.
He's not going to kiss me again, is he?
Oh, no. I mean, I know what he was looking at there. It's our Indians blanket right here on the wall.
Yeah.
740-383-9944. Well, this isn't the stadium.
No,
we can do whatever we want here.
I guess you can.
I guess you can.
That's I have a Cubbies thing that we could put up, and I don't think the Cubs have offended anybody.
Like I said, to me, this whole issue is just far more fascinating because the management doesn't seem to be taking the side of the fans.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, yeah.
Because you would think that they would take the bottom the dollar.
Yeah.
They would take the dollar. They would worry about the bottom line.
And I think eventually they will.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, they've banned Chief Wahoo. They've decided they're going to change the name. And now they're telling people don't even show up to the park in that mess because we're not going to let you in.
Well, what percentage of African-American, non-white, let me put it that way. What percentage of non-white population do they have in the Cleveland area? Pretty high, I would think. And maybe they're trying to appease that audience. It's all going to come down to money. If they're losing money, they're going to do the other.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you would think to make that statement, because they heard the backlash when they got rid of the Indians' name.
Mm-hmm.
They had to hear the backlash.
Oh, of course they did.
So then to go even further as the baseball season starts and say, now, wait a second, don't even wear that. Don't wear the clothes. Don't paint your face. We're not doing that. Well, they have to be aware that this is going to hurt them financially.
Yeah, you know, the other side that bothers me a little bit about this is that what difference does it make? But why are we so concerned about a mascot, but we aren't concerned about kids starving in Africa?
We're society has always been that way.
I guess.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes. I'm shocked because I got through, but...
No, go ahead.
I don't understand, you know, about this, you know. I've got Native American in me. Uh-huh. I don't understand why they want to do, you know, why they take it to heart about changing the names. I don't understand.
I take it you're opposed to changing the name. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I just wanted
to... Because that's what we're all used to.
Yeah.
Know, Red Sox, Indians, and...
Cubbies.
You know, yeah.
Well, I have a daughter-in-law who is, I think, 1/8 Cherokee. And, she's...
I have Cherokee and Blackfoot.
Yeah.
It's in my blood.
Now, I think she feels a little bit like you. She's not quite... She doesn't understand it, why there is such a significant need to change it. But, that's the way society is right now, unfortunately.
I know, it's bad.
We're taking sides. We should be all together. We should be one family instead of taking sides and trying to run down the other people. But we don't.
Right.
That's the progressive life in me.
Will you continue to be a fan now that the Indians thing is gone?
Do what?
Will you continue to be a fan?
Yes.
Good girl.
Okay.
Good girl. I like that.
Well, there you go. Well, hey, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Great call.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. We'll take any call. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back. 740-383-9944.
I think this is a great conversation to have, as long as we can keep it non-heated and talk about why we want to go one way or the other way.
Do you think people get heated over this?
Yes.
Really?
I know they do. I've had people yell at me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do they say?
Well, because I'm a progressive, a lot of people think that I will absolutely hate them if they want to stay with Chief Wahoo. I don't hate anybody for anything like that. But I think we need to talk about it. Why is it important? Why does it offend Native Americans? Why does it offend longtime Indian followers? You know.
Well, maybe we'll find out here. Go ahead, caller.
Can I make a comment about Floyd?
You certainly can.
Good.
Okay. The bottom line here in my situation, from what I see, he would be living. He wouldn't have got the knee put on his neck if he hadn't broke a crime and if he would have listened to the police officer who told him, stop, whatever. And as far as the family, they shouldn't have got no money. And that's my comment.
Okay. We appreciate it. Thank you.
That's what we need.
Thank you.
We need to have people talking like that. And why? The crime that he committed was $20 bill, and they're not even sure that that's true. And you know, but there's no sense in arguing it now. That man is dead. So let's find out how we can make life better rather than, you know, wringing our hands and saying, oh my, what a terrible thing happened. It was a terrible thing that happened, and he was killed. It's water over a dam.
Well, these two subjects do have some parallels, and the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. If there's anything you'd like to say, we'd love to hear it. I think the money point is going to stick badly with a lot of people.
Which, oh, you mean the suit?
In the Floyd case, because I think people are going to say...
Oh, it will.
Yeah.
And I will... You can almost... I believe that you will be able to tell by the color of the skin of the person that's complaining whether they're complaining about the money or not.
Well, but I do think that there are a lot of people who feel they were justified in getting the money. But, see, here's why that's a hard case to make. Problematic, because if you say, and it's absolutely true, as we said in the first hour, that no amount of money can bring back a life. Mm-hmm. We all know that. That's simple. But then when you turn around and say, but they should have got the money, when you're saying it's not going to bring the person back, it's not going to fix the problem, you know, it's not going to send the person to jail. It's not. Money's not going to do that. So then why take it? Is a question.
It's a punishment thing. It's a punishment to the city of Minneapolis, to the cops, to the taxpayers, because they're going to have to pay that. Or maybe they will have to pay it. I don't know.
Well, see, I don't... That's, I think, the problem with a lot of people. I think they're looking at that and they're going, well, you took the money, and now what? You know, should these people have to... spend, it's possible, the rest of their life behind bars.
If it's deemed, I guess, by a jury that they committed murder, yes.
I don't think they'll ever get murder in the first degree.
I don't think so either.
No. No. I don't think so. They might get manslaughter.
Yeah.
They maybe.
I don't know what the term is for manslaughter, but it's obviously far less than death. But, you know, something's better than nothing, I think.
I think, the problem is, I think, the job of the person. I think if it was not police officers, I don't think we'd even be having the discussion.
I think the biggest problem with saying that is that they've interviewed five senior police officials in that department, and all five of them said that was not the way he should have. He was trained, and it was not the way he should have.
Well, I think that's right. But for example, the incident we had over on Cummins Avenue, which was a big talk here in town a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. where the and we still don't know really what happened, but where the husband, older couple, mm-hmm. yeah, where the husband, apparently, allegedly, we still have to say that because there's been no trial,
right.
allegedly murdered the wife and then sat in front of police officers when they came in and stabbed himself.
Yeah.
Now, why does that happen? Okay, now we look at that. We're not looking at color. We're not looking at age. We're not looking at any. Matter of fact, I don't know what race or ethnicity those people were. Have no idea. Never saw their picture.
Sounds like mental illness to me.
Right. But if that was a police officer who had come in and allegedly killed this older woman, we would look at that differently. We'd say, well, did she come at him with something? Was it self-defense? Who called the police? There are just other variables when the police are involved.
It's a lot different, though, because it was her husband. I believe it was they were married, were they not?
They were, and that's what makes it all the more puzzling.
Yes, it does. And I think I mentioned last week on the air about my father having to go to a house where my former track coach had committed suicide and also killed his wife. And there's some mental illness that's going on in that sort of thing, and it may not be something that you can see very easily. He had gotten to the point, my former track coach was a probation officer, and he had gotten so depressed that he didn't think it was worth living anymore, and he knew his wife would not want to live with him. And my guess is there was something of that in this particular situation.
Well, it could be, but I think when we look at the Floyd case and the officer, Chauvin, he did not go to that call that day saying, I'm going to kill somebody. I don't think there's it. No. And I think that even when he saw George Floyd, when he got out of the car, I don't think he said, I'm going to kill him. I don't think that happened.
That. Yeah.
Right. So what happened? What went on?
Well,
what?
Have you? Well, you don't have children. But occasionally when a child would test me, I would lose my mental control. And I would get angry. That's when my wife taught me to not spank immediately, send them to their room first. I think cops have a tendency to get angry when people don't do what they tell them to do. And, I understand that. But I think it just may have heated up too much. And maybe he gave some lip. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe he failed to go. And you could watch in the video of the situation, it looked like he was not getting into the back of the car peacefully. And that may have just gotten the heat so high that at that point Chauvin said, I'm going to kill this SOB.
Well, see, did that go through his mind, or did he just say, I'm going to restrain, and I'm so furious about what has happened here that he restrained a little too much?
The problem was 9 minutes and 29 seconds.
Right,
if he
right.
had taken his knee off of him after 5 minutes, Floyd would still be alive. He might not be very healthy, but we don't know anything, and that's why it's in the court right now, unfortunately.
Well, and that's go ahead. Yeah, we get you a microphone that's working here.
We hope the green.
We hope.
Has anybody mentioned anything about like watching court TV
Yeah, a gentleman talked about that this morning.
I saw some of the footage, and it looked as though, I mean, there's a fact, he had something he was putting in his mouth trying to swallow. Was it fentanyl? Who knows? Toxicology showed that he had three times the lethal dose in his system. So, with all of that anxiety and everything else going through Floyd, he could have been dead in less than whatever the period of time was, etc. He had so many underlying conditions that could have, you know, caused his death, period. So to say that the police officers caused it, you could make an argument certainly about that. If the cops wouldn't have done anything, would he have been dead a half hour after he left the scene of trying to pass?
He didn't have that chance.
I just said if.
Yeah, I'm just saying he didn't have that chance.
If the cops would have not been there and he left the scene, he could have quite possibly been dead a half hour after he tried to pass the $20 bill.
But I could be dead as I walk out the front door. These are all... That's the problem with using suppose this, suppose that.
You don't use drugs on a regular basis, do you?
Well, I used to.
Fentanyl?
No. I didn't even know what fentanyl was. And I don't know whether he took them or not. I've never seen that.
Well, you look at his rap sheet and everything. Well, it talks to the whole issue that... here's what's happening.
Look at the cop's rap sheet. 17 times he's been brought up on charges. So, you know, I just... We have to leave it up to the...
You got essentially two snakes in a pit.
You've got to leave it up to the jury.
One of them's going to kill the other one.
I think you got to leave it up to the jury, and the jury is getting all the words. Yeah.
Well, why did it escalate to this anyway? Why did it escalate to somebody had to end up dead? I mean, wasn't
that's my question.
Well, wasn't this
just
that
wasn't the ultimate goal to end up dead? It was apprehend the guy and he fought.
Yeah. Well, I don't. Did he? I don't know.
Did he what?
Well, he fought. I mean, he resisted arrest. It's obvious he resisted
getting into the back.
He couldn't comprehend. I would have thought, you know, have somebody with a straitjacket.
So is that protocol, though? I mean, is it protocol when somebody doesn't get into the back of the car to put your knee in their back?
His supervisor
said no.
The
protocol is to do whatever to bring him under control.
I don't know about do whatever. No. I don't think that works.
Chokeholds.
Okay, to do what is necessary to bring somebody into compliance.
Here's the problem.
That's the thing.
We have a stand your ground law now in Ohio. Because of the governor, and you can agree or disagree with that, and we now also have a concealed carry law, which we've had for many years. Now, if I'm walking down the street, and you feel threatened by me, and you have your concealed carry license, your goal is shoot to kill. Concealed carry is shoot to kill. They will tell you that. That's what the instructor told me.
No, that's wrong.
Okay.
That's wrong.
Where they shoot you, in the knee?
Nobody.
Your goal is not to shoot to kill. Your goal is to defend yourself. Now, heaven forbid somebody's got a knife, a gun, or something or other coming at you, or there's a group of people, you can defend yourself. If you feel your life is being threatened, you can defend yourself. Nobody in their right mind, no NRA instructor for a concealed carry permit is going to tell you, you have a permit, now you can kill people. No.
I don't think that's what I said.
No, I said
if you
feel... You said the goal is to kill.
No, I did not. Mm-hmm. When we replay the tape. What I said was that if there's somebody walking down the street with a concealed carry license, and I'm walking behind them, and they feel that I am a threat to them, they can turn around. Their teaching in those classes is shoot to kill, not shoot for the knees,
not
shoot for the elbows.
It's not shoot to kill.
I've never taken that.
Take the course.
The course. Unfortunately, I've taken a lot of courses in being in the service, and people don't pay any attention to those rules.
But you're in the service to shoot to kill.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. You're in to defend, but not necessarily to shoot to kill. Now, if you're in war, yes, you are there to shoot to kill.
Well, you're being prepared for war. No, Nobody should, any instructor, that's lunacy. And you know what is really interesting? I don't understand why all these cops, with a magazine of 17 rounds, why are they shooting them in the chest, in the back, etc.? All of that. I don't care. I mean, you know, that's a myth, shoot him. Oh, shot him in the back. Why don't they shoot him in the butt? Shoot him in the leg, it's incapacitate him. Why do you have to shoot to kill?
Why do
shoot
you?
Shoot to stop him, you know?
That's it, right.
Well, I don't believe in shooting to kill. Now, if you wake up in the morning and you got somebody, or in the middle of the night, the foot of your bed looking down at you and you got a gun, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, would you like a cup of coffee?
Right, but the problem with the scenario I was laying out is I'm not being threatening to that person. They just interpret that I'm being threatening, mm-hmm. and they turn around and they shoot me. Well, now that's the law that you can do that.
I don't think it's as simplistic as that. Well, because that's that person...
Well, I would ask who's Trayvon Martin. I would ask his family about if that's okay.
Trayvon Martin, that was the kid in Detroit, right?
No, Florida.
Yeah. Florida? Okay,
where they
I forget the circumstances.
Where the gentleman got off completely scot-free.
But the fact of the matter is,
stand your ground.
Anybody who would think or have the mental capacity to not really think that somebody behind him is walking and turns around and shoots them shouldn't have a gun in the first place.
That's well, that's the problem. We haven't made enough rules to say that. Well, now, when they're training for what is it called?
Stand your ground.
Stand your ground. Do they train you to challenge the person first, or do you just...
The girl who... because I was shocked by it when she said that. She was a guest on the show. She was a girl probably 30, 35 years old at the time. She had gone through concealed carry classes. This is in Ohio. This is before Stand Your Ground. Stand Your Ground's fairly recent. But their philosophy, she said, and somebody called in, and I can't remember who it was, if it was somebody who was teaching those classes, was shoot to kill, because the theory was that if you take time to try to shoot them in the leg and you miss, or shoot them in the arm, and they've got a knife or a gun themselves, you're going to end up dead.
Yeah.
Well, if you're being attacked and you're within a certain range where they're, you know, it's all subjective.
Well, but it happens in 5 seconds.
Yeah, you don't have any time to think about it.
Well, that's the thing. If you can defend yourself, if they're close enough to whip a knife out on you or something or other, and you've practiced, and that's the thing. A lot of people with carry concealed don't necessarily practice and go out and have complete control of their weapon. Now, most things for concealed carry, everything happens within, like, 15, 20 feet.
You know what? I'm sure somebody out there has a concealed carry license or has been to the class. Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. What do they teach in these classes? I've never been to one. And what is the deal? Because, you know, we've got a lot of laws here in this state now, concealed carry, stand your ground, that it's very interesting. Now, why do, and what did they teach you there?
What I told you.
So what do they say? If somebody's coming at you, what do they say?
Well, I've never had that scenario. I was taught...
But what did the class say?
My concealed carry class. Number one, you're not a police officer, okay? And I'm always of the belief that whenever possible, run away to fight another day. Avoid. The last possible thing you want to do is kill someone.
But that's implying that everybody that has one of those cards that you have is a smart, thoughtful person.
Well,
they're
that's
not
the problem.
All going to be.
That's the
most of them are not.
That's the problem, you know.
So don't do
people
it.
People get through.
Throw that law out.
Well, you don't have to throw that law out. I mean, you know. But the fact of the
Why
matter is,
it?
I was taught, because there are a lot of crazy. Well, there are a lot of crazy people running around. No, I have a gun. I'm not scared of anything.
I'm 74 years old. I've been stabbed once, and I've never been afraid to walk into the worst parts of Chicago. It's a matter of now something could have happened to me, but I wasn't afraid of it. So one of my basketball players told me, Mr. Coble, you shouldn't walk by the Cabrini Green area because somebody will kill you. And I said, do you know people that have been killed? He said, yeah. I said, well, how were they killed? Well, they were in a fight with that person. I don't get in fights with people. people. So I never was afraid.
Well, you walk
to
in the wrong place. You go out to Watts, Los Angeles.
Hey, Cabrini Green was at that time was as bad as Watts. It was as bad as any place. And I walked through there. I did have a guy holler out a door, "Hey, blankety blank, what are you doing in this neighborhood?" And I told him.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was just recently in Manhattan and Philadelphia. And, you know, there are some rough areas in those cities.
Sure.
And I walked right through Central Park, side to side.
There's some rough people in Central Park.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I wasn't carrying anything, and not one time did I feel threatened, or did that even cross my mind. I was more worried about getting to where I needed to go, and if I cut through Central Park, will I get there on time?
Now, you might be, somebody might say to you, maybe it's your ignorance.
Could be.
And that's what it was in my case. But I prefer to be a dead, ignorant person than alive.
But it ended
murderer.
Okay. I'm still alive. I've never been stabbed. I've never been shot. I think a lot of times it's when people bring the gun out that if somebody else has a gun, now the, as you just said, the tension goes up.
Mounts.
Now we're squaring off against each other.
It's like Sean Connery said in The Untouchables, leave it to a WOP to bring a knife to a gunfight. Oops, I wasn't politically correct, but I was quoting.
I was stabbed by a young man and I threw him down the stairwell. So
there you go.
Oh, that worked.
Now he's a quadriplegic, isn't he?
No, he was fine, but we both did have to go to the principal, and he got in a lot of trouble. I did, too, because I wasn't supposed to throw him down a stairwell.
Well, the fact of the matter, you know, you look at New York City. New York City, it's illegal to have a handgun. Been illegal for I don't know how long. What's it done?
I don't know.
Hasn't done a thing. There's still murder.
You can't say it hasn't done a thing.
It hasn't.
Well, there are people that are not carrying a gun because it's against the law. That's one thing.
And all the law-abiding people, and they're the prey upon the miscreants of the world.
What a crock of crap.
I thought you had a college education and was intelligent.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm ignorant, but I know for a fact that there are people that, because there is a law, they don't carry a weapon, and that had to have saved some people. And by the way, I would say the same thing about you. I thought you had a college education.
But see,
we're arguing about stupid things.
Well, this
isn't stupid.
Well,
it's a constitutional right to, you know.
Depending on how you interpret it, right?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people support people's right to carry a weapon, but yet they don't carry a weapon. I find that interesting.
Well, it's kind of like me supporting people that don't believe in abortion, but I'm not going to tell somebody they can't.
Right, well, Glenn, and I think sometimes that's the point.
Glenn, you know why snakes don't bite attorneys, don't you? Professional courtesy.
Okay, you can say bad things about the attorneys, but I have some good friends that are attorneys. So,
well, I just don't
sorry,
know.
Went over your head.
If we get back to the Floyd case, the problem is that no officer is trained to kill somebody. I don't think in that way, and the person did end up dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem also is you should not resist arrest if you're being arrested. And apparently this person did try to resist arrest.
Right.
So once we get it all laid out and it's put in front of a jury, that's what we do in this country. That's the Constitution.
That's right.
And we'll find an answer.
Yep. Well, you would think, after all of these tragedies that have happened, that today, whenever a cop tells you to do something, you would automatically say you wouldn't try to argue with him, you would just do what they're telling you to do and not argue, it's my constitutional right, etc. Hey, do what they're telling you to do and
argue later.
Yeah, exactly.
Argue later.
That's what the courts of law are for.
But
and it's like when they told the students that went to the South for voter registration.
You mean the ones
hassles
that were,
you, yeah,
you mean the ones
the
that
cops,
were killed by the
yeah.
KKK? Okay.
The cops or anybody hassles you, don't try to argue constitutional law. Do what they tell you to do, and that's it.
Thank goodness they didn't down in the 50s. Otherwise, we would still have black people being second-class citizens, I think.
I'm talking about avoiding being what happened
No, you know? I'd say that Martin Luther King, what's his name? Bad Trouble, or Good Trouble. I think Good Trouble is a way of changing things. So, sometimes you have to disagree with what they tell you. Now, I think...
Let me put it this way. You don't argue constitutional law with a mental midget.
Okay. I don't know where that's coming from. Who's the mental midget in this case?
The illustration was the mental midgets in the South, or anyone. A cop tells you to do something, you do it. Because you got to remember, they're nervous as hell. They don't know what you're going to do or whatever. They need to figure out what the situation is so everybody can be safe. So when a cop tells you, stop doing something, stop.
Yeah,
God, that right there in that moment, that's God on earth. They tell you to do.
Look at
the tragedy of Trayvon. Look at all the others that have been killed because they made cops nervous, period.
You mean like the little boy that had a toy soldier and they blew him away? Yeah, we have way too many guns and way too few regulations on
we
them.
We have way too many stupid people out there, too. Dangerous people.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Well, see, I think the problem is I think, much like I opened up this morning saying, everything's got two sides, and
sure,
we are very polarized.
We are.
And with everything. And until we can come together and be able to have a middle ground on all these issues, I don't think we're going to get much done in this country. And I don't know that in this particular case, it's going to be bad in the Floyd trial, because there are going to be people unhappy both ways with the verdict. And I just hope it's a peaceful whatever that comes out of this.
As long as we keep calling people mental midgets and lawyers snakes, I think that's not the way to do it. I think there can be a way to question people that don't have as high a intelligence, or people, you can question lawyers that may be a little crooked, but calling them names isn't going to do anything.
Well,
Terry,
I know people who are horrible.
Sure will. It's called sarcasm. I prefer sarcasm to hot lead.
Well, sarcasm quite often leads to hotness.
Well, only in mental midgets. Only in mental midgets.
See, there he's calling me a mental midget.
No.
Oh, yeah, you were. Never mind.
I don't know. Hold on a second. What I want to say here is that I have known people, and I could recite the names during the break, of about 10 people who are very, very, very smart people who could solve huge scientific mathematical problems, who socially had no skill at all.
Socially retarded.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't use that word, but socially inept. Socially unaware. Had no social propriety at all. There's three words that I would use. But the point is they were socially backwards. And in a social situation where sometimes guns are involved, knives are... I don't know what they would do if somebody came up to them with a knife, to be honest. Now, I think they would act completely different than I would in that situation. But I don't think they're dumb people. They're certainly not dumb people. They're very smart people. They're just socially backward. And some people panic. You know, some people don't panic when you put them on top of a 10-story building, and some people do.
I would.
I don't think that has to do with your IQ. I think it has to do with your fear and your panic buttons. A lot of people, I know if a man had a knife pulled, and I hate to say this is a gender thing, but I know if a man has a knife pulled on him, he will act differently than an 80-year-old lady probably.
Absolutely.
Would.
Yep.
And the hysteria of the 80-year-old lady might worry the criminal who just wanted to take her bag, and he does something now that he wouldn't have done. And now you got a bigger problem. Go ahead, caller.
I have a question for Glenn.
Oh, thank God. Go ahead.
Now, listen, I want to lower the temperature here, but...
Did you feel that in here, too, or was that just me?
I could feel it out here, too, out on the south side. No, but listen, I've heard you guys talk before about, you know, violence and guns and this and that, and I'm just trying to get a feel for, like, how you think. So, I know you've talked about going through the dangerous neighborhoods, mm-hmm, and, you know, nothing happened and so on and so forth. And
I don't think, like, you're a big, like, fan of, like, people carrying guns. You said that before,
no,
right?
No, I'm not, yes.
Okay. What, I mean, I like happy mediums. I'm not big on extremes. But I'm trying to get a feel for how you, I mean, obviously there are shows like, just to name a few, Snap, Forensic Files, State Law. They wouldn't be able to make these shows if nothing bad ever happened anywhere. So what do you think people should do to protect themselves? Or do you think, like, I mean, I don't want to be, I'm trying to put my question respectfully. Like, I don't want to say, oh, so you think nothing bad ever happens anywhere, because I'm sure you don't feel that way. But
no.
What do you think people should do?
Well, first of all,
do you think that crime ever does happen anywhere? I mean, do you think that if, you know, someone could get mugged or knocked over the head or...
Bad things happen to good people all the time. And it's my opinion that it's worse to fight that with anger than to fight it with education. And I think education is a major flaw that we have. And I also think we should do away with shows like you mentioned that glorify the use of shooting people, stopping people.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that point, but what I get out of those shows, I think Ron said this, the adjective, is because from an educational standpoint, sometimes, I hate to re-victimize people, but I'll be watching it and I'll try to put myself in their shoes and think, would I have done that? And sometimes the question is, or the answer is, no, that was pretty dumb, like, you know, they should have saw that was a dangerous situation to put themselves in. And sometimes it's like, nope, they were just headed to check the mail, and here came a maniac out of nowhere.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is no television, no money, if you can't make it exciting. And to make it exciting, you have a maniac hiding behind every bush, and so you have to blow him away. That's my opinion. And I don't find that a problem. Now, I'll probably walk out on the street and some maniac will be mad at me for saying these things and shoot me. But
yeah.
But that's all right. I'd rather die as a good
so
person than die.
So if you're laying in
die,
your bed and it's 3 a.m. and you hear a noise and you look up and there's someone in your bedroom, you're going to be happy that you don't have a pistol within arm's reach.
Yeah, because I'd probably kill that person. But I probably do have a baseball bat pretty close. But we lock all our doors.
I feel like my luck would be that they take the bat from me and use it on me.
Well, or they take the gun from you and blow you away. That can always happen.
Okay. All right. Well, I asked for your opinion, and I got it. Thank you.
No, I like that. I like asking those questions.
Yeah.
That's good, because you have to think about it.
I'm curious, Glenn. Do you have insurance?
For what?
Just you have insurance. I don't care, any kind.
Automobile insurance, which is required. Homeowner's insurance, which is required, yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's required by law.
Yeah. Would you have it if it wasn't required by law?
I don't know. Never had that situation. It's always been required by law for me.
Oh, welcome to Sesame Street, caller. Go ahead.
Is this the program on the guns?
It is. Yeah, talk to us.
That's what we are today, the program on the guns.
Well, I wasn't sure. I never knew if it's pre-recorded or not.
No, it's live.
We're live.
It is live.
Okay. Well, the one thing I have to say is a lot of folks do enjoy their guns and do a lot of sports with them.
Sure, I love that.
But there are a lot of folks also that, if you're afraid of guns, should get an education on them. Now, I was raised to fear guns. And when I got married, I would not allow my husband to have his in the home.
Mm-hmm.
And I always took our Second Amendment and other constitutional rights for granted until things started coming about 8-10 years ago. And I finally told him it's time I learn and see if I can get over this fear. And I don't want you teaching me. I want to find someone who is professional. I want to learn every safety aspect first. But
I want to start from ground level and work up. I found some wonderful instructors, and I still take instruction to this day. But the thing is, I wanted to get adept at it. I wanted to get over the fear I have. But you're also, people need to be trained, because you have to learn that the first and utmost thing is to find a way to get out of the situation, so you don't have to do that ultimate, take someone's life or maim somebody. But knowing how to handle yourself, knowing how to be prepared, all different types of scenarios. We take a lot of courses in learning how to read people, how to read situations, how to protect yourself, all these little scenarios, active shooters, things like that. And put that to everyday life. It's too bad that life has become that way. But rather than deprive someone of their right to own handguns, we need more training. And we used to get that in elementary school and junior high and high school in the schools. When it comes to gun safety and handling guns, we need to bring this type of programs back.
Now, I don't want you to think that I'm opposed to guns. I was a soldier. I've carried a gun. I've trained on M16. So I have absolutely nothing against owning a gun for sport, that type of thing. My wife loves skeet shooting. We used to do that occasionally. I don't want you to think that I'm opposed to guns. There are a lot of people that think just because you want to do certain things and restrict certain people from having guns, that we're opposed to guns. Most of us are not.
Well, and I understand that, but the laws that they're trying to enact now, the bills that they're running through, does restrict the law-abiding citizen in a lot of instances. It needs to be done on a case-by-case. I have a friend. Her son committed suicide. She blames me for it because I enjoy shooting. I enjoy my sportsmanship. I didn't pull the trigger on her gun. We have laws on the book that's against the law to kill someone. We have laws on the book that's against the law to attack someone, to hit someone and all that. But criminals still break those laws. We need to tighten our penalties. We need to bring back the death sentence. It curbed a lot of people years ago that... We got to stop infringing on everybody's rights because a few are afraid, or a few don't want to learn, or a few don't want to abide by the law. As many gun owners as there are out there, if everyone was so bad, there'd be millions of people dead, not just the ones that are dying. And it's because of the criminals who have those guns and are allowed to get them in the manner in which they get them. But regulating to a point, stricter penalties for those who do commit the crimes, because the ultimate law is you cannot kill someone. It's against the law. Obviously, that means nothing to many out there, but we need to educate, too, so that people are more responsible, more conscientious. We need to get God back into people's lives. And we need to get morals and respect back into people's lives, too. And we can only do that through education, not telling how bad everybody is.
Yep.
Educate.
I agree with you on that, absolutely.
It gets infuriating when everyone wants to infringe on your right when you're not the troublemaker or the cause, or you're labeled someone really bad because you do enjoy a certain sport. And like I say, I was raised to fear them. I had a god-awful fear of guns. I still have that fear, but it's a
respect
fear.
Yeah.
But I learned how to handle them. Now, do I want to just take anyone's gun? No. If I'm not familiar with it, I'd prefer they just put it away or unload it or whatever if they're wanting to show it. But, people just need to get more education on it. I don't necessarily like basketball or football, but I don't want to feel
like... Oh, well, then you're un-American.
I like our Constitution. I'm American.
Yeah,
I do think sports has been the ruination of a lot of things, and I covered it for years as a photojournalist, and I've seen what it can do, and I've seen...
Can we see some of your pictures sometime? I'd love to see some of your pictures sometime.
I haven't done them in a number of years. Oh, I'm rather glad to stop.
The best ones are from years gone by.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
they are. Well, but I appreciate you guys bringing the subject up, and I appreciate you letting me get my two cents worth in, and hopefully things will change for the better. And,
Thank you. That's what this station's all about. Thanks for calling in. Yeah.
All right. We've got a couple minutes left here. Anything left?
No. The one thing about the punishment and like the death penalty and that sort of thing, one of the things we have found, and you can prove it with statistics, is that African-American people of different colors than white are much more subject to those rules. And, you know, many more African Americans were killed by lethal injection than white people, especially based on the percentage of people per capita.
There we go.
Were they doing
crimes or not?
Well, we don't know. A lot of them weren't. And
see,
we've proven that.
That's why there really shouldn't be the death penalty.
Yeah, my feeling.
Unless somebody is there and you've got witnesses to see this guy pull out a gun and shoot
or
them,
slice their
but then you get into
yeah.
premeditated and everything else. That's why this country has to take health, mental health, seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that brings an end to this sweet little show today here on WWGH Radio, where you can figure out what the G stood for today in this particular hour.
Okay.
Stand by for donuts.
Stand by for donuts, yes. And by the way, Progressive Life with Glenn Coble in 15 minutes. First episode of Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond from the studio today, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon. And we are done for this hour. Stay tuned. More programs in 15 minutes.
It's an amazing night here, and it's great time. And tonight, to win the opener, does that give them momentum, in your opinion?
Yes, I do. I believe it. I mean, they've been waiting for this all season. Cleveland Indians was counted out. They didn't believe in us, but we in Cleveland, and the time is now.
And here we are in Cleveland. It's probably 39 degrees. The winds are out of the northwest coming off the lake. The lake would be...
The Great Lake.
Yeah, Lake Erie. It's, oh no, something happened. We're getting some feedback here. A play has been played. I had my back to it. What was that?
It was a double down the right field line for Jose.